Overseas now to Zimbabwe. The Southern African nation holds parliamentary elections tomorrow, but they're marred by accusations of corruption by the president's ruling party. Robert Mugabe has governed the country since its independence 24 years ago. Critics say he has suppressed democratic opposition and ruined the nation's economy. Abe McLaughlin reports for the Christian Science Monitor. He's been traveling around Zimbabwe recently and joins us from the capital, Harare. And welcome to Day to Day, Abe.
Thanks, Madeline.
How confident are people there that this will be a free and fair election?
Well, you know, I found an interesting thing for this being an outpost of tyranny, as Condoleezza Rice calls it. And as you said in the intro, there has been plenty of oppression, and even being a member of the opposition party used to mean that you were at risk of being beaten up or raped or killed. But recently, the election campaign has been relatively peaceful. The opposition candidates have been able to hold rallies out in public, which is a first, and they've even gotten a little bit of coverage on the state-controlled media. There is no independent media in Zimbabwe. So that has all sort of conspired to raise hopes quite a bit among opposition supporters and even some diplomats and other observers. I was with some opposition folks last night, and they were saying that they've already started to celebrate, even though the polls don't open for another, 12, 15 hours. They've already started to celebrate their victory because they're so confident that this respite in the violence will mean that they're going to win. The expectations are really high, and that whether that's realistic or not, if the ruling party does try to steal the election, I think there may be quite a bit of outrage among the opposition folks.
Right. And just this past Sunday, a Roman Catholic archbishop called for a nonviolent mass popular uprising if the ruling party wins. Is such an uprising likely?
Well, it's certainly an interesting question given the Orange Revolution in Ukraine and the Cedar Revolution in Lebanon. And it's one a lot of people have been asking. There are differences here, though. The AIDS rate is something like 25%, one of the highest in the region. As someone said to me, if someone has AIDS, how are they going to come to a protest? And even if someone is caring for someone with AIDS, they don't want to leave them behind to come to a protest for 17 days like they did in Ukraine. Hunger is also an issue. According to one estimate, there are 4.8 million out of 12 million people who don't have enough food to eat, are verging on starvation. So getting people out in the streets for a sustained period of time is logistically and for a lot of other reasons a much more complicated endeavor than I think it was in Ukraine or Lebanon.
Robert Mugabe is 81 years old. How much longer is he expected to retain power?
Well, that's one of the big questions around here. He seems quite fit for an 81-year-old. He's doing quite well. One question is, however this election turns out, what will it mean for how long he stays around? There's one theory that if the ruling party wins by a landslide, that will consolidate their power and they'll be able to start making the constitutional changes and other kinds of changes that would enable Mugabe to sort of move into a father of the nation role and out of this day-to-day running of the country. And you would bring in some moderates who would try to reconnect with the international community from which Zimbabwe's been quite isolated and that kind of thing. That's one theory. Another is that if the opposition does really well, then Mugabe will be forced out of power. So one diplomat said to me the other day, the beginning of the end of the Mugabe era starts on Friday, the day after the election. That, again, may be a little optimistic, but it's possible.
Abe McLaughlin covers Africa for the Christian Science Monitor. He joined us from Zimbabwe. Thank you.
Thank you.